Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our very special Elimination Chamber preview edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing tomorrow night's big Elimination Chamber premium live event at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get started dissecting the card and giving you our prediction, and maybe a spoiler or two, we do have a little bit of news to report, and this is an interesting piece of news, and it may contain a spoiler. So if you're not the type of person who wants to hear a spoiler, just put your fingers in your ears for a minute or two, and you won't hear it. Apparently, the WWE fully intended on doing exactly what we speculated on this show last episode, which is the plans were for Jey Uso to turn on Sami Zayn at the Elimination Chamber, cost him his title shot, set up the big match between the Usos, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. That was exactly what the plan was. However, now I'm being told that that's not written in stone. Now I'm being told they may actually have some other plans in mind. Now, this could have been why Paul Heyman said at the end of SmackDown that he wants Jay, or Jimmy specifically, to stay home and watch television, because you never know what you might see that you don't see live. My sources are telling me he was referring to seeing Jey Uso fist bump Sami Zayn, which you wouldn't have seen live, but if you were watching the television program, you would have seen. Meaning they know that Jey Uso was in contact with Sami Zayn. So now there is some speculation that they may go in a different direction, that they may not do what we said and have Jey Uso turn on Sami Zayn at the premium live event, but instead perhaps have some kind of a falling out between the Usos. Now, again, this is not written in rock, and the chances are that they're still going to go with their original idea. But I have been told that now it's no longer 100%. They are contemplating doing something else, and they're doing that based upon the fact that they're not sure they want to, kill the golden goose quite so quickly. Jey Uso is eliciting a lot of sympathy from the fans. They know that Jey Uso could get over big as a face. They're thinking about it carefully, and they're weighing their options. Now, usually when the WWE has a plan, a formulated plan, which they did, they end up sticking to it. So if I were a betting man and I were going to put a large sum of money on what's going to happen, I would say they'll stick to their game plan, which we called on last week's show. But it's no longer 100% guarantee, which is good, because now as fans we're a little bit thrown off and we're saying to ourselves, there's options, there's branches on the tree. Now, could they be just spilling this out to put those branches on the tree and make it look like, what seemed pretty obvious to me is no longer obvious? Yes, they could be doing that. That's what wrestling's job is, to a certain extent, is to swerve the fans if possible. So they already know that the Cody Rhodes situation at WrestleMania is kind of predictable. They don't want this to be predictable, too. So now they're taking a look at this and saying, well, everyone thinks Sammy's going to lose. And now people are starting to say, well, if it really is Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos, then quite obviously Jey Uso is going to have to flip and turn on Sami. So it's become predictable. So now I think the WWE is thinking about it, saying, well, do we have another storyline here? Do we have a storyline by which perhaps the Usos break up or they fight each other? I don't know where that leaves Kevin Owens. That's the only thing. Do we have a tournament for the tag team title? And part of that tournament would be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I don't know. I don't know where this leaves Sami Zayn for WrestleMania. I don't know where it leaves Kevin Owens for WrestleMania. All I know is last week, that storyline was pretty much guaranteed. And now I'm being told it's down to about 70-30. And they may be pulling an audible here and changing this just based on the fact that they think they can run a little bit more with Jey Uso. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, we called this turning of Jey Uso on Sami Zayn, but now they may be putting the brakes on that.
Right, and it's a good thing. I mean, look, we want branches on the tree. You know, we just don't want a straight, you know, up and down thing. We want to be able to go up a tree and go and choose a branch and go. You know, don't choose the first level branch. Maybe choose third or fourth level branch. You know, and this is what basically they've. I don't want to say lucked into it or whatever, or stumbled into it, but they've stumbled into a point where there's a higher branch on the tree that they're possibly going to take, right? So, and there's another theory out there, and then we may be able to get to this, but I've saw in different places that they're thinking about with Cody Rhodes a quote dusty finish to the possible championship match to get more things, to get more stuff on Cody, you know? So,
yeah, I've heard about that too.
If they're going to do a, yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that too, Mike, and that could potentially be, again, we don't know. Maybe they're just doing that to swerve us, you know? Maybe it's like, well, it's too obvious, so we'll put it out there that we might change our mind. But you also got to remember, Mike, Triple H is in charge of this thing now, supposedly anyway, and I can't imagine he's a huge Cody Rhodes fan.
No. No, but again, Vince is back. Cody Rhodes is a Vince deal, right? Vince is back, and from what I understand, he's kind of trying to stick his nose back in the booking and the writing and stuff, so if Vince is trying to do that, then there's a chance that this whole dusty finish could happen with Cody, because, like I said, Vince signed Cody. Cody is a Vince deal.
No question. Now let me give you an idea. It's strictly my idea, but if they really want to separate these belts, could they not do a quote unquote rip-off finish at the Elimination Chamber? The Usos jump in the ring and start beating up Sami Zayn, and they're disqualified. And that leads the powers that be to say, well, Sami never really got a fair shot at this title. So we're going to throw him in the mix at WrestleMania. We're going to have a three-way dance, Cody versus Sami versus Roman. However, the stipulation is going to be that if the SmackDown star, which is Cody Rhodes, which is Sami Zayn, if the SmackDown star, Sami Zayn, wins, he only gets the SmackDown belt. Cody Rhodes wins, he's the Raw star, he gets the Raw title. And we're going to go back, and if Roman Reigns wins, he keeps them both. And in that way, Roman Reigns could still be one champion at the end of the night, even getting a pinfall. So there are some options that could happen here. I don't think they'll go that route. If I were a betting man, I would bet that they're going to do exactly what they planned, and Jey Uso is going to show up looking like he's going to save the day for Sami Zayn, and instead he's going to super kick Sami Zayn and cost him his title shot. That's what I think is going to happen. But from what I'm hearing, the WWE is really rethinking this, because several people are saying we might be missing the boat on making Jey Uso huge. And the Sami Zayn, Jey Uso story continuing, which is going to build up ratings. We're not sure that a feud is necessarily going to build the ratings up. It'll build the WrestleMania matchup. But is it going to build the actual ratings up for SmackDown? I don't know. I don't know, Todd, but it's interesting now because now no longer is anything written in Rock.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this whole thing, what the Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes, and Roman Reigns thing, like you said, they could do that, this three-way dance for WrestleMania, have Roman Reigns defend the Raw, the WWE championship. If Cody wins, he'd be the WWE champion. And if Sammy wins, he'd be the Universal champion.
I mean, it's just an idea. I don't think they're going to do it. But they have a lot of branches on the tree. It'll be very interesting to see, because if they do change this and Jey Uso does not turn on Sami Zayn tomorrow night, then you know they called an audible, and you know they got some big plans for Jey Uso. So that'll be very interesting. And Derek is saying if he really doesn't like Cody, then why can't he just have Sami win tomorrow and have Sami beat Cody at Mania? The reason they won't do that is because they don't see Sami Zayn as the face of their company. They just don't. They see Sami Zayn as a valuable and right now extremely popular wrestler. But you have to remember, how valuable and extremely popular was Cesaro? The whole crowd had Cesaro section signs. They didn't make him a champion. They didn't see him as the face of the company. The WWE wants to be the type of federation that whoever represents them as champion is someone they really say, this is the person we see as putting up a billboard with their picture on it and people saying, yeah, that looks like a wrestling champion, and yeah, that's our guy. They don't see Sami Zayn that way. They just don't. So I don't think they want to give Sami Zayn that credibility. Now, if they did what I said and they only gave him one title, they could do that and make him just a transitional champion. But they don't want him to be the face of the whole company. If they did as I suggested, Roman Reigns is still the guy on the billboard, and he still has a belt. And Sami has a belt, too. That's a little different. But they don't want to make him the Universal Champion. They just don't. Now, that could change. I mean, they could make him the Universal Champion and have Roman Reigns say, well, I mean, listen, Jey Uso could come in there and super kick Roman Reigns. Sami Zayn wins, and Roman Reigns says, well, what the hell? I was ripped off. Yeah, correct, you were ripped off. So you know what? You get into the WrestleMania match as well. And you could still have a three-way dance. There's a lot of branches on the tree. Here's the deal breaker, though. This is the one that's going to crush all this. It's fun to speculate, but I do know, and I don't think it's changing. Still has time to change, but I don't think it will. They have penciled in Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes for night two main event of WrestleMania. If that's night two's main event, if it was night one's main event, I'd say, oh, there could be some nonsense going on. You might see a double title defense or a three-way. You might see something. When it's night two's closing event, I don't see it. I don't see it. Now, could they change that? Yeah, they could change it. But it's not likely, Mike. And usually that night two main event, once they get it settled, that's it.
Right, and that's the thing. And again, that doesn't take the thing about the dusty finish off the table. I mean, you could have him Roman Reigns at the end of the night, having both titles, right? still being the undisputed Universal Champion. You can still have that because of chicanery, because of, you know, because of the dusty finish, because of many things. You could have him at the end of the night still being the undisputed Universal Champion, right? So,
yeah.
So, you know, that's another branch on the tree, you know. So this is a good thing that we're not totally sure what's going to happen with this thing. It's a good thing.
Oh, there's no question about that, because, you know, people were writing me saying WrestleMania seems very predictable and the Elimination Chamber seems very predictable. Well, now it's not so predictable, right? But we're still going to try to predict it, folks. So here we go. Let's start with the Elimination Chamber match for a shot at the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. And that would be Liv Morgan versus Nikki Cross versus Asuka versus Natalya versus Raquel Rodriguez versus Carmella. Well, let's eliminate some people right off the bat. Liv Morgan's not winning. Liv Morgan had her shot. Liv Morgan did not live up to the potential. As we said, she would not. Is it her fault? Absolutely not. Every single person who wrote me and said, why do you hate Liv Morgan? How come you're always downing Liv Morgan? I wasn't downing Liv Morgan. I said Liv Morgan's going to be great, but you rushed her to the championship, and that's a problem. Because when you rush somebody to the championship and they're not prepared for it and they don't hold it up well, and they seem to fail as champion, it takes a hell of an effort to get another chance. My thought was, why are you rushing her? Let her slowly progress so that she doesn't kill her chances. I think she's killed her chances. Liv Morgan has no chance in this match. Nikki Cross has no chance in this match. Natalya's in this match because she's representing Canada. She has no chance in this match. Carmella has no chance in this match. That leaves Asuka versus Raquel Rodriguez. Now, Raquel Rodriguez was supposed to have a title shot, and it was kind of taken away from her. So do they feel they owe her that shot? Well, you know, the WWE doesn't necessarily feel that way. Asuka has just come back with her new gimmick. They've been pushing her pretty heavy. And I have to think that if you're going to let anyone go to WrestleMania and trust them to put on a great match for the Raw Women's Championship, it's going to be Asuka. I mean, you know, again, is it going to be Nikki Cross? No. Going to be Liv Morgan? No. Natalie, Carmella? No. Raquel Rodriguez is a slight possibility. I'd give her about a 10% chance of winning. The rest of them I give zero. And I'm going to pick Asuka on this one, Mike. It would seem like they want to build her back up again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Asuka, but it's not after everybody else is eliminated, right? Then you're going to see probably a good 8 to 10 minutes between Asuka and just between Asuka and and Raquel, because they want Raquel to look strong. They don't want her to be eliminated right away. They want her to look strong to keep her at least in everybody's thoughts as a potential person who could maybe take it away from Asuka or whomever has it, you know, or even if she goes back to SmackDown, Charlotte, you know, they want Raquel to look strong.
There's no question. Now, Derek is saying my pick is Raquel if she stays healthy, because she gets, you know, hurt here and there. Yeah, I would normally say that they might want to run with Raquel, but that means Asuka has to be eliminated. And she's just come back. She's just got this new gimmick. She's been on a tear, and I don't believe she suffered a pinfall. Is this the time to do it? I would say no. So I think Mike probably has it right. I think the last two people in the ring is going to be Raquel Rodriguez and Asuka, and it's going to be a a really good five, six, 8 minutes of action before Asuka finally wins. Because I think they think, and they're probably correct, that given the two options, the best match overall is going to be Asuka. So now that we know that Rhea Ripley has picked Charlotte Flair, my assumption will be that Asuka and Bianca Belair will be the one. Bianca Belair and Raquel Rodriguez would be a good match. But Asuka's more like a tweener now, leaning toward heel. And I think maybe they feel that'll be the better matchup with Bianca Belair. So I'm going to go with Asuka on this one. What is your pick, Todd?
I got to go with the same person. I got to go with Asuka. Well, like you said, they want to build her up back up again, and maybe this time they do it right. And like you said, you're going to see a new, probably hopefully see a new women's champion tomorrow night in that Elimination Chamber. My final pick is Asuka.
Well, no, it's not for the women's championship. It's only for the right to go to WrestleMania and face the women's champion. Okay, we get Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley. This is a little harder to call. I'll tell you why it's a little harder to call, because I've had people say to me, do you really think that they're going to let Rhea Ripley lose, even if she's not the one pinned? Do you really think they're going to let her or her team lose prior to her wrestling Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania? They want Rhea Ripley to look strong. This is where Beth Phoenix is going to ultimately lose and put all the heat on Rhea Ripley, so Charlotte looks like the big hero, because obviously Rhea Ripley is booked to be strong, really strong. And Beth Phoenix, at the time that she was the Glamazon, was probably booked to be the strongest woman in the division. And if Rhea Ripley can out-muscle her, then the announcers can say, you know, can Charlotte compete with that? Beth Phoenix, arguably one of the strongest women in the sport. Rhea Ripley took her out. Charlotte's going to have her hands full. I understand that philosophy, but I'm going to disagree with it. I think Edge is going to win. I don't think, and here's why. It just comes down as simple as can be. Remember when AJ Styles was feuding with Samoa Joe? And I said the minute Samoa Joe went to AJ Styles' house, said bad things about his wife or whatever, I said, there's no way in the world Samoa Joe's going to win. Because you will not make someone look so impotent that they can't defend their family. When you cross that line, you know the other person's going to win, because they won't make the other person look so bad that, well, I can't really defend my wife. Some other guy did things to my wife and I can't defend it. Well, if you remember, Beth Phoenix got cracked open with a chair there, courtesy of the Judgment Day. They're not going to make Edge look like he can't defend his wife. They're going to give Rhea Ripley plenty. They're going to make Rhea Ripley look like $1 million in this match. It's Finn Balor who's going to suffer the loss. And I believe that that's what will lead to Finn Balor challenging Edge one-on-one at WrestleMania with the demon Finn Balor versus Edge, who will probably do the brood gimmick or whatever. That's what I think ultimately will happen. So I understand why people think they don't want to make Rhea Ripley look weak. I don't think she's going to look weak, though. Remember, if she doesn't lose and she does well against Beth Phoenix, but it's Finn Balor who suffers a spear and a pin, how does that make Rhea Ripley look weak? It doesn't. So I think that that team can suffer a loss and Rhea Ripley can still look strong. And at the same time, it'll look like Edge redeemed himself for the beating that his wife took. And we'll have that one more match, which will be the Demon Finn Balor against Edge at WrestleMania. So for that reason, I'm going with Edge and Beth Phoenix. I think that they'll probably take this, Mike.
Edge and Beth Phoenix will take it. And I don't know what they're going to do with WrestleMania, because apparently that's probably going to be the last matches for Edge. I don't know his current contract, how long that lasts after WrestleMania. And, well, we know that what's his name's gonna be, you know, here for a while. It's Finn Balor, so and really, if Finn Balor takes the loss, that's a storyline there, because that's basically the first step in one of the first steps in them splitting Rhea and Dom away from Balor and Priest.
Yes, and it's also a step that usually happens just before he challenges you as the Demon. Well, I couldn't beat you with Finn, but I'm challenging you as the Demon, Finn Balor. That seems to me to be more reasonable. So that's what I'm going to go with. Derek in the chat room saying he's rooting for anybody but Bianca Belair, doesn't like Bianca Belair's personality. Well, I told everybody that. Bianca Belair, she's done better lately. But Bianca Belair for a long time was coming off as a very flippant, arrogant, I don't take anybody seriously because I'm so much better than you type person. And that's what a heel does. And now she's been better lately. But she still can rub you the wrong way with some of her mannerisms. There's no question about it. So, yeah, I get why people say that. Todd, what do you think? Edge and Beth Phoenix or Judgment Day on this?
I got to go with the Hall of Fame couple. I'm going to go with Edge and Beth Phoenix.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. I mean, I understand the people who are saying that you shouldn't have Rhea Ripley lose, but she's not going to lose. She's not going to take the pinfall. If Rhea Ripley takes the pinfall, I will be on the show on Sunday screaming at the top of my lungs of how bad that booking is. Simple as that. So we'll see. I don't think they'll do that, though. Okay, let's move on, and let's go to Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. Now, here's the thing. Everybody's saying, well, you know, Brock's not coming back to lose again. Well, here's the deal. Neither one of them are booked for WrestleMania. So my assumption is that they're going to fight again at WrestleMania, which I don't want to see necessarily, but what else are you going to do? You don't have a lot of time to build up anything else for Bobby Lashley. So my assumption is that this is going to end in some kind of a debacle. And I'll make a bold prediction here. I don't necessarily think Brock's going to get pinned, but if he does, it's going to be because of the returning hurt business. I think you will fully see them run down to ringside with MVP, maybe even almost. And they will interfere in this match. Now, whether they cause a disqualification or they cause Brock Lesnar to lose, I don't know. But I think you're going to see the reuniting of the Hurt Business at the Elimination Chamber, and that will muddy the water enough to probably get one more match out of this, Mike. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they'll probably get one more match out of this thing. Now, Brock Lesnar will not get pinned, but if they don't do the whole Hurt Business thing, is it a possibility that Bobby will beat him down so much that, you know, he will be able to slap the Hurt Lock on him and keep it slapped on him and get a submission out of Brock, thus giving us another match, number one, and possibly what I want to see is Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley in an MMA-style match, you know?
Yeah, and they may do something like that. Now, Derek is saying Brock will win to set up for Gunther, but from what I'm hearing, Brock is not going to be wrestling Gunther at WrestleMania. They thought about it, and from what I'm hearing, they've changed their mind, and they want to do Sheamus versus Gunther versus Drew McIntyre. Now, maybe they'll change their mind. If Brock Lesnar wins clean, then they've changed their mind. And then the storyline will be, you should have been with the Hurt Business to begin with, and you wouldn't have suffered this loss, and maybe they'll reform the Hurt Business that way. But I don't think they'll do that. I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to have, because Brock Lesnar is not going to lose to Gunther. I'm going to tell you right now, Brock Lesnar will not agree to lose to Gunther. He will not agree to lose to Gunther. I promise you, he will not. Brock Lesnar's okay on losing to some people if he's, you know, totally up for it. There's no way he's losing to Gunther. Just like he wouldn't lose to Jinder Mahal, just like he wouldn't lose to AJ Styles or Daniel Bryan, he's not losing to Gunther. He's just not. And they don't want him to be the champion, so that's probably why that match got nixed. So I'm going to go ahead and say that we get a screw job ending of some kind that leads to one more match at WrestleMania, probably, and Bobby Lashley reuniting with the Hurt Business. What's your thoughts, Todd?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, if this is going to happen tomorrow night, if Lesnar wins clean, or Lashley wins clean, we're going to see either way an interference from MVP and company.
Yeah, that's what I would assume. That's what I would assume. You saw him backstage talking to the former Hurt Business. He wasn't talking to Lashley, I guess, but he was talking to Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. I do think that that's probably what the WWE has in mind. Go to the men's elimination chamber where we have, let's see, we have Johnny Gargano versus Seth Rollins versus Austin Theory, obviously is the champion, versus Montez Ford versus Damian Priest versus Bronson Reed. Now, this one is for the championship. But if you take a look at this roster, name me the guys who could possibly win this. Seth Rollins winning it would mean that his match at WrestleMania with Logan Paul, I guess, would be for the title. I guess that's possible. But if they've already got that special match, I don't think they want to add that stipulation of a title to it. Damian Priest is not winning this. He's second banana. He's literally the probably third banana in Judgment Day, behind Finn Balor, behind Dominic, and behind Rhea. Really? So he's like the least credible guy in the Judgment Day. He's not going to win it. Johnny Gargano's been booked to be a comedy wrestler. He's not winning it. The trouble with Bronson Reed, who could win, is you don't have enough time to build up a feud for him. So if he wins and he's the champion, man, you got to build up a quick feud. Who's it going to be? And we've all heard the rumblings that Austin Theory is going to fight John Cena at WrestleMania, and that would be awfully interesting if it was for the title, even though, quite obviously, John Cena can't win it. It would still be important. So I think Austin Theory is going to pull this out. I really do. Montez Ford won't win, but he's the guy who's going to give the performance. He's the guy that they're going to give all the spots to. So that at the end of the day, the announcers can say, Montez Ford is just incredible, because they are definitely going to probably be splitting up the Street Profits. I see that coming. I see a possible fight between them. One got in the Elimination Chamber, one didn't. There could be some sour grapes. That's what I see. So Montez Ford will give a standout performance, but I think Austin Theory at the end of the day is going to walk out of that still the champion and go to WrestleMania probably to take on John Cena, Mike. So is Seth Rollins a possibility? Yes, I think he's the only other possibility in this match. What's your thoughts?
Right, and think about this. John, you know, Theory could be the next John Cena. He could be. You know, he's very photogenic. He can speak. He can talk. He's the type of guy that you would want to go on, like, Good Morning America and, you know, and all that stuff. So yeah, it is gonna be him, but they're gonna want Bronson Reed to look really well because he just came back, right? And they're in the midst of a push for him, so they're gonna want him to look really well. You know?
Yeah, I agree. So, let's see, Todd, what's your thoughts? Who wins this and why?
I'm going with Austin Theory here. Like you said with him, they want to do like a Cena and Theory match at WrestleMania for that U.S. title.
Yeah, you remember it was John Cena who made it so famous, remember? So, yeah, and you know, Theory's been doing the whole the champ is here thing. It's been pretty obvious that they're building up to that. Pretty damn obvious. And if he loses in the Elimination Chamber, that kind of takes the emphasis away. So I just can't see it. I know a lot of people are saying, how do you expect Austin Theory to go over against Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed and all this? Well, he's going to somehow. By hook or by crook, he's going to. They've been giving him quite a build. And I think they want him to have a WrestleMania moment, and he's not going to have a WrestleMania moment if he goes into it with no momentum and no championship. So I'll take Theory, and that leads us to the last match. Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn. They've really muddied the waters on this, folks. Sami Zayn's not winning this match. Sami Zayn is not going to be the champion. However, is he losing? I don't know if he's losing. I can't say for sure he's losing. He may win by DQ. If they call an audible like they're threatening to, he may win by DQ. Very possible. Let's just say Jimmy Uso shows up. He's not supposed to. Jimmy Uso shows up and he's interfering in the match. And he gets totally DQ'd. Roman Reigns totally DQ'd, but saves the belt. Jey Uso shows up and either A, looks like he's going to protect Sammy and instead sides with his brother, or protects Sammy. There's an option. The Usos don't necessarily have to lose their title. They could be stripped of the title. Jey Uso could say, I don't want it anymore. So, therefore, I'm relinquishing my title, and we'll have some kind of a tournament to determine it. It could happen. That's a long, long shot. My gut tells me that when push comes to shove, the WWE usually does what they plan to do. They usually don't call that audible. So for that reason, I'm going to go with their original plan. I think it's going to look as though Jey Uso is down to help Sami Zayn. And instead, he's going to turn on Sami Zayn. It makes the most sense. Because then, if Roman Reigns and Jey Uso and maybe Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa are all beating the hell out of Sami Zayn, and local hero Kevin Owens comes in and makes the save for his buddy, that's going to be a big, huge pop in Canada. They're going to get a hero's response. And that will be what the WWE wants when they say we're challenging Jay and Jimmy for their tag team belts at WrestleMania. Sounds like that's a solid plan to me. And that's how you get KO involved in WrestleMania. Because if Jimmy doesn't or Jay doesn't do something like that, I don't know how Kevin Owens is involved in WrestleMania. What's Kevin Owens going to do for WrestleMania? Take on Solo? I guess he could. They have options, and that's what makes this very hard to call. The only reason I'm calling what I'm calling is because of the WWE's track record of not liking to call an audible. Occasionally they will. But usually if push comes to shove, they say, let's stick with the idea we had to begin with. And that is the idea they had to begin with. That was confirmed. So I'm going to say that's what happens, Mike. I'm going to say Roman Reigns retains the belt. I'm not saying he's necessarily pinning Sami Zayn, but he retains the belt, and I think Jey Uso probably turns on Sami.
I think so. I mean, think about it. I mean, of course, I think they still have it in the back of their head that at some point Roman's leaving to go do whatever, you know. So they're going to have to build up somebody in that group to be the main event, to be the leader of that group if they want to keep that group going at some point. And at one point they were calling Jey Uso main event Jay, right? So
right.
At some point it's going to have to be somebody like Jey Uso that's going to be built up. And this could be the start of that and the start of them, I don't want to say minimizing Roman Reigns, but trying to get it so that he can take some time off to go do some other things, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, I think I'm going to disagree with you there. I'm going to be positive about this thing, and I'm thinking they're going to call the audible and have the whole thing about the disqualification and maybe at some point having them, you know, that three-way match at WrestleMania with Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns.
I'll tell you, that would be a bigger main event. If I were in charge of the booking, that's what I would do. Because then all the fans would be happy. The fans would say, oh, Sami Zayn should have main evented WrestleMania, not Cody. Well, he is main eventing WrestleMania, if you take my plan. And the people who say, oh, Sami Zayn, you know, forget it. Cody Rhodes would be a better choice. Okay, well, Cody Rhodes is in there. So all the fans get what they want this way. The only person who's left out in the cold is KO, but then you could offer KO a really good, solid match with Solo. And let this story continue. Let the story continue. That's what I would go with. Now, I didn't say that my prediction was what I wanted. What I wanted is what I just said. That's the way I would book this. And then I would have probably Cody Rhodes win. Then you can always keep telling that story, and eventually Jay can turn if that's what you want. But don't tell the story too quickly. Right now it's still hot. Right now you still got some things you can do with it, and you got that tremendous WrestleMania match that everyone would be super excited about, much more excited than just Cody by himself. So that's what I would do. But knowing the WWE and knowing that that's night two, and they've already sent out the graphics, I don't think it's going to happen. Anyway, Todd, what do you think? Who wins this and what happens?
I'm going to go with Sami Zayn. Not to win the I'm going to go with Sami Zayn, but not going to win the championship. I'm going to say by a DQ.
Yeah, it could happen. I mean, listen, this is the beauty of this story. This story has so many elements to it, and there are so many branches that it's really impossible to predict. It sounds easy to predict. Sammy's not winning. He's not going to be the champion. But is he going to go to WrestleMania anyway? Are they going to plan some three-way dance? Is Jay going to stay kind of Sammy's friend for a while, and they've decided against turning him on Sammy to promote the KO-Sammy tag team right now? Or at least at WrestleMania. I mean, they do have an option with Kevin Owens. They can give him Solo. Solo doesn't have anybody to fight at WrestleMania. It sounds right. So they could do that. Or they could just do what they wanted to do. And Jey Uso is a turncoat. And he betrays Sammy's trust and faith in him. And his friend, who he betrayed, sticks up for him in his home country and they're big heroes. That's not a bad story either. See, here's the beauty of good writing. You could come up with about three stories, and all of them are like, yeah, it's pretty good. None of them stink. When you have really good writing, that's what happens. You have options, and all the options are pretty good options. No matter what they do, pretty good option. Aside from the Usos don't show up, and Roman just beats Sami clean. That would not be a good option, because that doesn't tell any further story. So I don't think they'll do that. Now, Derek in the chat room is talking about Lesnar saying, why wouldn't Lesnar put Gunther over? Well, for several reasons. One is that he's already put a bunch of people over. including Bobby Lashley. And Gunther is primarily a quote-unquote power wrestler and a wrestler. And that's not the type of person that Brock Lesnar wants to put over, because that's what Brock Lesnar is. So Brock Lesnar is going to say, with my MMA experience and my power, my superior power and everything else, you know, he's the weaker person. And to put him over would make me look incredibly weak, and I'm not going to do that. Now, he put over somebody like The Undertaker because, well, the gimmick is that he's incredibly powerful and he's very, very difficult to beat, and it's no big deal to lose to The Undertaker, right? Or he'd put over a legend because, well, they're a legend. He put over Bobby Lashley because, well, he knew there was a big payday in it and there's a lot more matches down the road. So each one of those matches is payday, payday, payday. So if they come to Lesnar and say, you're losing this match, but we got a series of matches planned. You're going to get a payday here and a payday here and a payday here and a payday here. Okay, I'll lose the first match. He ain't going to lose the last one. I promise you that. So they've already got that worked out. But I just know the way Brock Lesnar's brain operates, he's not losing to Gunther. He wouldn't even consider making Dean Ambrose look decent. You know, the original plan was that match was going to be longer and Dean Ambrose was going to have a lot of offense in that match, and Lesnar kind of just nixed that and said, yeah, that's not happening. Look what he did to Kofi Kingston, and Kofi Kingston was the champion. Just dusted him. Squash match. So, nah, he's not losing to Gunther. Absolutely not losing to Gunther. And I think that's why they probably said that match is probably best off not happening. Because what are you going to do? Put that belt on him? No, you're not going to put that belt on him. And if you're not going to do that, then Gunther has to win. Or there has to be some cheap ending. You don't want a cheap ending, so what do? You're kind of boxed into a corner. You want the person to beat Gunther to be the person that you say, oh, wow, you know, it took a lot to beat Gunther, and they're going to be a really solid champion, not a guy who shows up once a month, if that. So Lesnar would never want a secondary title anyway. So you're already in a quandary. He doesn't want the title, but he doesn't want to lose. What are you going to do? DQ victory for Brock Lesnar? That's not worth it. So that's why I think they're looking down the barrel. Now, I could be wrong because they're building up this big thing with the Viking Raiders and I guess they're still called the Banger Brothers. But I don't think that's going to stretch to WrestleMania. If anything, I think this is where the rift is going to come out again between Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, because they may end up actually putting over the Viking Raiders and blaming each other, and then we get to this spot. I don't know. I do know the original plan was to have Gunther and Brock Lesnar square off, and you did see the Royal Rumble where they came face-to-face and the fans were very interested, but I think that's been taken off the table. Now, do I blame Brock Lesnar? No, not really. And I'll tell you why. If it was just a normal wrestler, if like Sheamus was saying, I'm not losing to Gunther, I'd say, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, you've had your share of whatever and your ups and downs and everything, and you've jobbed for a lot of people, but he's been very consistent. Brock Lesnar is a part-time guy who comes in and comes out. And if he's ever going to be successful as a part-time guy, he's got to be that part-time guy who really doesn't lose. Because nobody's going to show up if they say, here comes Brock Lesnar to lose again, like he just lost the last three or four times. They don't want that. They want that guy that you say, oh, man, Brock Lesnar's showing up. Good chance he ain't losing. So to protect himself in the business, he can't be losing to just anybody. If he was on every single week, then I'd say, well, you cycle up and down just like all wrestlers do. Sometimes you're on a win streak. Sometimes you're on a lose streak. Lesnar's not one of them guys. He's like a special attraction. And your special attraction, like 911 was for ECW. 911 can't come out once in a while and chokeslam 14 people and look like a world beater and then get his ass kicked. So they never did that with him. they never fought him for any titles or anything, but pretty much when 9-1-1 come out, he wasn't losing. Very rarely did 9-1-1 lose. I think maybe twice his whole ECW career. So that's why Lesnar's trying to protect himself, because that's his meal ticket. And I don't think he thinks Gunther's the guy he wants to put over. Gunther's done him no favors. So that's what I think. As far as the rest of this situation is concerned, we did want to talk a little bit about AEW being down in the ratings again. And now people like Eric Bischoff and some other people are coming out and reaffirming what we said, which is this company's not growing. Okay, you're staying relatively steady, but you're not growing. You're not going anywhere. You're treading water. It's the same group of fans. And eventually some of them are going to drop off. So Eric Bischoff rightfully is saying, and I know a lot of people are mad at him for saying it, but think about it, folks. How long has AEW been in business? And their audience has not grown. It stayed exactly the same. And in some cases, for Dynamite and things, it's actually been declining. So, we did want to cover that, Mike. We talked about this months ago, and it's just getting around to the mainstream guys now to discuss the fact that it appears as though AEW is sort of on this treadmill and really not growing as a company.
Right, and think about this. Eric Bischoff knows from what he's talking about, because remember he had that 86 week winning streak, right?
Yep.
And then what happened after that winning streak? What happened?
Yep.
His ratings started to decline. The heat that WCW was getting started to go down. The ratings started to go down, and that's when everything started to drop precipitously to the point of where, you know, what happened in 2000 and Vince bought him out. So I'm not saying the same thing's going to happen with AEW. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's what happened. And, if he's trying to get the rumor was he was trying to get a new contract, right, with somebody else or a new contract with TNT and TBS, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if that's the case and he's not growing, and in fact he's contracting, they're contracting, how's that going to affect their negotiations for the new contract?
It's not going to be good, and it's not going to be helpful. And remember, we said this is the problem. Tony Khan chose to promote his federation as a federation who kept their ratings up by saying, we got a surprise this week. We're signing somebody else this week. We got a big superstar signing this week. Another surprise next week. Guess who we signed this week? You can't keep that up forever. You got to have the ratings based on the people you have. When's the last time Vince McMahon or Triple H or anybody came out and said, don't miss next week's show? We have a huge surprise. You won't believe who we signed. They've never done that. I've never seen them do that. They have surprised you with somebody that showed up, but they never announced it. You have to watch this because it smacks of desperation. Please watch. We're going to give you a big surprise if you do. Well, that works for a few weeks or a few months. It doesn't work forever. And Tony Khan thought, I guess it's going to work forever, and it doesn't. And then you got to rely on your matches, and you got to rely on your superstars to sell this. And I think right now Tony Khan is learning a valuable lesson, and that is this. For all of the great wrestling, for all of the super matches that AEW puts on, and they do, the top thing in wrestling right now has really very little to do with wrestling. The Bloodline storyline is the top thing in wrestling, and it's based upon good writing and backstage promos and in-ring promos, not really even wrestling. You got a mid-carder in Sami Zayn, a tag team in the Usos, an unproven guy in Solo, and a guy that had been roundly rejected by WWE fans for a long time in Roman Reigns. And you lit them on fire with great writing. not with great matches, with great writing. And every single person on this panel has said almost from day one that this show has been on the air that the lifeblood of wrestling is not necessarily the wrestling. The lifeblood of wrestling is the storylines that hook you in and make you want to see the wrestling. I think that's a lesson, Mike, that Tony Khan hasn't quite learned yet.
Absolutely, and really, it took TNA a while to learn it. Because remember, TNA was always when we first started the show, and we were talking about TNA. You know, they were always up and down, up and down, up and down, right? And then
yep.
they started things like the Aces and Eights, and later on with Matt Hardy and the Broken Gimmick and all that stuff. Well, both
yep.
of those two things had excellent writing and had excellent performances of that writing by Billy Ray and Bubba Dudley and Billy Ray and Devine and the rest of them, and of course Matt Hardy and his crew, right? So
no question about it.
They finally learned. TNA finally learned that writing is a big part of wrestling.
It's a huge, huge part of wrestling. It's more important than the wrestling itself. I'm sorry to the wrestling purists out there. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Paul Heyman has now went on record, and this is a guy who wrote compelling storylines for ECW for a long time. Paul Heyman has went on record saying this Bloodline storyline is the best acted, best conceived, best executed storyline in my career, bar none. That's huge praise, Todd, coming from a guy like Paul Heyman.
Well, that's really right, like you said. What Paul Heyman says come out of his mouth, it's true. Everything.
And this is a guy who, Mike, has been involved in some barn burner storylines. So to say that this is the best one, bar none, that's huge.
That is huge. I mean, and to think we probably could have had this thing happen earlier than this if they wouldn't have fired Paul Heyman from the writing in the first place. But that's a nitpick there, and I'm not going to nitpick this whole thing. He's right. Paul Heyman is right. And when Paul Heyman's right, he's right, and he's right for the best reasons, you know?
Yeah, and you know how many times they almost blew this? They almost said, well, we're going to switch Paul Heyman back to Brock Lesnar. He's going to help Brock Lesnar win the belt. Remember that? And then they said, no, we called an audible. We're not going to do that. And then they were going to have Jimmy Uso stand up for his brother and split from Roman Reigns. And they were going to be the faces and Roman was going to be the heel. And then they said, no, maybe we better just not do that. Do you know how many times the WWE almost blew this? Oh, Sami Zayn's only going to be a 3-week guy and then he's out. They almost blew this about a dozen times. But luckily, every single time, what did they do? The thing we said forever that every wrestling federation needs to do. They listened to the fans and said, maybe we better not go through with our plan. Maybe we better call an audible and let Sammy stay. Call an audible and let Jimmy make peace with Roman. Call an audible and keep Paul Heyman here. So don't think that they might not call an audible Saturday night. They just might, folks. We'll be back here on Sunday to tell you how it went. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.